When one takes a look at the Rambam from Yirvich Tshuva, someone notices that the Rambam describes the mitzvah tshuva in very exact terms, very halachic, intricate process of what a person has to do in order to be chosen the tshuva, about the charot, about feeling bad about the aveira and tzvola and vidui dvarim, a whole series of steps how to perform the mitzvah tshuva. The chora, when one looks at the yontif of Rosh Hashanah, one doesn't see anything about this mitzvah being performed. There is no charot, a person doesn't sit in kal chait on Rosh Hashanah, there's no vidui dvarim on Rosh Hashanah. The whole process of tshuva that appears at the beginning of the tshuva seems to be absent in Rosh Hashanah, which would lead us to the belief that perhaps there's no mitzvah tshuva in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a yom tov, there's kiyah shofar, machiz zechos and shofar, there's other things in Rosh Hashanah, but tshuva is not really not a main motif for the day, maybe it's totally non-existent in Rosh Hashanah. The problem, however, is the Rambam in Hilchos Shuvah for a Gimel is discussing the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. So the Rambam tells us that even though tkiyah shofar is a gzeres hakosav, it's a mitzvah which ultimately we can't really understand the precise reason for. Nevertheless, remez yeshbo, there is a hint within the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, and the remez of tkiyah shofar is uri yesheni mishnaschem, that those who have been sleeping and slumbering throughout the year wake up and chitzu b'maseichem, it's time to perform the mitzvah of tshuva. So if the Rambam saw within the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, of course the central mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, a call to tshuva, so how do we understand this? If on the one hand tshuva has a very specific setup in terms of charot and vidui dvarim, etc., which clearly do not exist and do not play any role in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, in fact the one place in the entire davening of Rosh Hashanah where there's even a little bit of an allusion to a vidui dvarim is in the phrase avinu malkeinu chatam lefanecha. So half the Achronim say you shouldn't even say that in Rosh Hashanah, because you don't say Vida in Rosh Hashanah. Even though the Achronim, like our practice, most places do in fact say that phrase in Rosh Hashanah. So the Mefarshim explained, they bend over backwards to explain what it means, Avinu Malkeinu, even though we may be Rechote, but still Avinu Malkeinu, it's not really Vida, you don't clap al chait, and we go out of our way to explain why we're not saying Vida in Rosh Hashanah. So how do we understand this? If Rosh Hashanah is a Zman Tshuva, like the Rambam's understanding of Tkiyah Shofar is, so what's sad in the fact that the entire tshuva process that we're familiar with in Hilchos Tshuva is clearly absent in Rosh Hashanah? So the Chora, I think that the answer to this question really has to be understood in light of what is the fundamental principle of Rosh Hashanah, what's the primary motif of Rosh Hashanah. So of course, like any other Yom Tov, there are many motifs, there are many themes throughout the Yom Tov, but there's really clearly always one thing which carries the day. Pesach, Zman Chir Hussein, Shavuot, Zman Matan Hussein, which Yom Tov has clearly its primary theme. And in Rosh Hashanah, it seems quite clear that the primary theme is the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that out of all the different parts of the davening of Aseres HaMetshuva, which I just heard the end of the Shia, so out of all the different parts of the davening and the Aseres HaMetshuva, the only part at the end of the day really matters is the Melech HaKadosh. Leave out Sefer Chaim, you forgot about asking for your own Baruch and Panosa and Chaim, so it's not a problem, you still use Tishman Esrei. You forgot to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's a disaster. That's Ma'akev in the Tevila. That's Ma'akev in the whole essence of the day of Rosh Hashanah. You just go through the davening of Rosh Hashanah and you see the overwhelming majority of the piyutim in Rosh Hashanah deal with Malchus Shemayim. There's a little bit that deals with the Yom HaDin or Sana Tokef. Some of the highlight ones deals with the Yom HaDin. But for the most part, everything is Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach. Everything is about the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even within the Baruch itself, we're chosen the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah. We don't just say in the Kaddish Yisrael Yom HaZikaron, but we say Melech HaKol HaOretz, which tells us that the very etzem, the very atzmus of the Kedushas Hayom is an expression of Malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if this is true, that the day of Rosh Hashanah is primarily a Yom of Malchus being Ma'amlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now perhaps we can understand what the role of Tshuva is, what type of Tshuva is expected for us on Rosh Hashanah Al Pi HaLocha. We know there's a fundamental prerequisite to performance of all the mitzvahs, and that is the first of the Aseres HaDibros, Anecha Hashem Elokech. Without Anecha Hashem Elokech, without a Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, then there's nothing to talk about Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So if tshuva, the process of tshuva, is supposed to be a tikkun to the lack of fulfilling of the mitzvot, so l'chora, the only way to begin the tshuva process is to be rimam l'chakadosh baruch hu. One has to start again to the basics. You have to go back to the ABCs. Just to throw at a person a mitzvah tshuva and come to a person in Yom Kippur and say, b'chose b'tshuva. That's a meaningless statement. To be chose b'tshuva means that first and foremost, the person has to accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the corollary of accepting the Kadosh Baruch Hu is, me'at v'kibalta malchus y'ak achshav kibbul gzerosai. Now that Klai shall accept the Kabban, themselves the Malchus Shemayim, so then you can begin to discuss the Shemiras HaMitzvot. So the same is true when it comes to tshuva. When a person becomes deficient in Shemiras HaMitzvot, the person starts to slip during the course of the year, and the Shemiras HaMitzvot goes down. So now the only way to begin Shemiras HaMitzvot over again, the only way to begin the tikkun of everything that's gone wrong during the course of the year, is to be rimatapa and echei shem lekecha. You can't start with lo yil v'chol ha'im acharim. You can't start with zochas v'mishabes. You can't start with lo siyotech v'sinach v'signov. You have to start with an echei shem lekecha. So you have to start the tshuva process with kabbalas ha'malchus shemayim. So the answer to the question, is Rosh Hashanah a Zman Tshuva or not? Well, the answer is depends what vantage point of Tshuva you're talking about. Is it a time of Tshuva for the actual Maisa Mitzvah of Tshuva in terms of a Vidui and Lefar Tzachet and Klapin Alchet and all of that? The answer is absolutely not. There's no Hashem Lebaganu on Rosh Hashanah. Does that mean that Rosh Hashanah is Bechlam Mufna from the Parish of Tshuva? That's also not correct. Rosh Hashanah is the prerequisite for Tshuva. The relationship between Rosh Hashanah and the Mitzvah Tshuva is the same relationship as between Anochi Hashem Elokecha and the rest of the Seres HaDibros. So of course the Rambam is right in Hilchos Tshuva when the Rambam says that the Shofar calls out to do Tshuva. Doesn't mean that the Shofar calls out to clap Alchait, because you don't say Alchait. You don't say Alchait until a week later. The Shofar calls out to be read the Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Once you've ascertained that there's Malchus Shemayim, once you've been mekabel upon yourself, kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, then you can begin to discuss the tshuva process. So that's the aside of tshuva in Rosh Hashanah. It's not a tshuva on the chatoim, it's not a tshuva the prat, it's not the tshuva the foil, as the Rambam Luchas tshuva, but rather it's the prerequisite to tshuva, namely the kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. This relationship between kabbalas Malchus Shemayim and the concept of tshuva and the entire Avodas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah, so this is not only true in terms of what is expected of us, in terms of how we go about and being Nayag in Rosh Hashanah, but l'chore, the concept of Kabbalas HaMalchus Shemayim is critical in terms of the tshuva process, Klapei Shemayah as well, namely, how a Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts that tshuva. So up until now we've been talking about what we have to do. We have to be Makabal HaMalchus Shemayim. We have to begin the prerequisite of the tshuva process. But in a certain sense, this speaks to the Rebbeinu Shalom as well. There's, of course, an obvious problem whenever we speak about davening and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Yom Neroi, and Tshuva, and all of the above. So we all know that who are we kidding? That we stand in the Sana Taisha, if we can't say it any clearer than that, Kilo Yizku Be'anecha Badin. We know that when we speak about Yom Hadin, so we don't stand a chance. The very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, so Chazal tell us, the Bereishis Bo'al Lekim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, the Nidus Hadin, and the Rebbeinu Shalom, so it's not going to work. It's a plan, just not going to happen. So eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that Shiteh Midas Arachim and Midas Hadin. So that's in effect what takes place in every Yom Neroi. Each year when we reenact the Mitzvah Bereishis, when we relive the Bria Shemayim Va'aretz and Rosh Hashanah, so that's exactly what happens also, that we start off Rosh Hashanah, like we're starting off Yom Hadin, and we're all excited to Yom Hadin, Yom Hadin, and then we realize after a few moments that who are we kidding, we're not going anywhere, Yom Hadin, we're not going to get anywhere. So all of a sudden we turn to Rebbeinu Shalom and say, Rebbeinu Shalom, we want Midas Arachamim. That's what all the Sifrei Kabbalah speak about, the Tkiyah Shofar is that moment in time when a Kadosh Baruch Hu changes from the Kisi Adin to the Kisi Arachamim. So the question is, how does that work? How can we get a handle on that? How can we, in this world, in terms that are familiar with us, understand these concepts of a Kadosh Baruch Hu first approaching the world with Midas Adin and then approaching the world somehow by Midas Arachamim? So the Mefarshim explained to us that if you want to understand a little bit about Malchus Shemayim, so the way to go is to look a little bit at Malchus Bosav Adam. You look at the way the world works, the way monarchy and ruling bodies work in this world, and that'll give you a little bit of a glimpse of what's going on in the Malchus of the Rakia or Malchus Shemayim. So we all know that there's a concept, it's even a concept in America, even though we don't have exactly a monarchy, but somehow we've been yoresh this concept from, our roots stem from originally monarchies. So the concept of a pardon. So there's a concept, whenever you have a malchus, so there are chukei malchus, there are rules, there are laws in the book. A person does this crime, you commit this and this crime, so you're subject to this and this penalty. And there are rules, and there's a judge, and there's a jury, and there's a king, whatever the case may be, and there are rules exactly that the onesh fits what the crime is all about. And then all of a sudden you have this extra legal system called the pardon, that the melech can walk in and say, it's true that this person violated this and this law, and according to the chukei hamishpat, he's even chayav mitzvah, it was a capital crime, and he should be put to death. But I, as the melech, pardon this individual. So we know we have this concept of presidential pardon also. So we know January 20th at 11:59, so all of a sudden all the people who are supposed to be pardoned somehow get pardoned. So that's a concept that exists in many, many, quote-unquote, malchios, and even not such many malchios. So what kind of a statement is this? What kind of a concept is this? That the melech walks in and the melech changes the chukei mishpat. So the answer is, is that this is working with one basic assumption. There's one prerequisite for a concept of a presidential pardon, and that is that the person is the president. You know, nobody was thinking a million years that at 12:01 on January 20th, after the new president has been sworn in, that the old president can run in and say, no, I want to pardon that individual. It doesn't work. It's not shaykh. What's the difference between 11:59 and 12:01? The answer, those who don't remember from American history, that's when the swearing in is. That's when the change of the guard is. So it, what's the difference between 11:59 and 12:01? So the answer is very simple. At 11:59, he's a melech. At 12:01, he's a regular citizen. So that's melech. That's the way it goes. That's the ma'aseh b'chol yom. Everyone understands that malchus and vasad adam works in that way. That the only prerequisite that's necessary for presidential pardon is that he has to be the president. Whether he's right, whether he's wrong, whether it's a good pardon or not a good pardon, people can argue, they can write articles, they can scream at him from Shreichai B'Kayim. But at the end of the day, when Nixon was pardoned, he was pardoned. That's it. You can argue about it, you can say it, you can give a chesed about it. But l'mayis, at the end of the day, the president has the koch to pardon somebody. So that concept that the president or the king has the koch to pardon somebody, that's a concept that exists in Shemayim as well. What does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, so the melech has a right to, in a sense, go above the rules of the law, that the melech has a right to step in and say, it's true, it's bichukei ha-medina, it's bichukei ha-mishpat, such and such a person is chayav, but I'm the melech, so whatever I say goes. I have a right to go above the letter of the law. I have a right to pardon, provided that I'm the melech. So comes the Rebbeinu Shalom to us in Rosh Hashanah and says, listen, you have two choices this Rosh Hashanah. Either you go l'fi chukei ha-mishpat, you want to go with kayach hadin, fine, I have no problem. You should just know that if you go to see Midas HaDin, so Kilo Yitzku Be'nechem B'din, no one's going to win this din. So Elohah, if you want to have Midas HaRachamim, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, okay, we can talk Midas HaRachamim, we can only talk Midas HaRachamim in one condition, that I'm the Melech. What does it mean that I'm the Melech? Of course the Rebbeinu Shalom is the Melech. Like Rashi says in Chumash, Elokei Shemayim, Elokei Aretz. It's not enough for the Rebbeinu Shalom to be the Melech in Shemayim. You have to be Ma'amlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If and when you believe that the Rebbeinu Shalom is the Melech and you act accordingly and you mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so once he's the Chal Hashem Melech over you, then he has the right to pardon, and he has the right to work with me, to Sarachamim. So the whole Mahalach of Atshuva and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a whole transformation from Midas HaDin to Midas HaRachamim, it revolves around Malchus Shemayim. If and when the Makam of Malchus Shemayim, the Belev Sholem, so then we're entitled to the presidential pardon. Then we're entitled to Midas HaRachamim. If we're not Makabal Malchus Shemayim, then Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't act as a Melech to us. He doesn't act as a Melech to us. Then we're Chayav Lefi, whatever the Chukei HaMishpat are, and Tiva Yisku Be'necha Badin. So Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim is so critical in terms of Rosh Hashanah. It's critical in terms of our Pi Alocha, what it's Mechayav us to do. It's the prerequisite in terms of our doing Shuvah. And not only is it prerequisite for us, not only is it something that speaks to us, but Kabbalah Yochel speaks to Rebbeinu Shalom also. That means it's our Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim that puts the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a sense in that position that he's willing to act as a Melech to us, and as such it's going to only work with Tovaseinu. So Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim is critical in terms of Tshuva. It's critical both from our vantage point, and it's critical from the Rebbeinu Shalom's vantage point as well. The significance of Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim is not only important in terms of Drush, in terms of understanding Rosh Hashanah, in terms of understanding what Tshuva and the Rebbeinu Shalom's role and our role in terms of Tshuva, but perhaps it plays a very real role in terms of understanding some of the problem of the halachas in Rosh Hashanah. And one particular mitzvah, of course, the particular mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, there seems to be something unique, at least the way the Rambam formulates Tkiyah Shofar. Something very unique about the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar that really seems to emanate from the fact that Tkiyah Shofar has that dimension of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim to it. So the Rambam has a very difficult psak concerning the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. In order to understand the psak of the Rambam and how to understand what this has to do with Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, you have to take a little bit of a step back and just go through a little bit outside a sugi that appears in Masechus Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches Amud Beis, one of the more famous sugis in Shas. The Gemara discusses the issue of mitzvos trichos kavana. So there's a general machlokas in many, many mitzvahs throughout the Torah. When a person does a mitzvah, is it necessary for the individual to really have in mind that he's doing the mitzvah, l'shem mitzvah, for the purpose of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, for the purpose of the mitzvah? That would be the man beyond the mitzvah, tzrichos kavana. Or do you say, no, mitzvah zayin tzrichos kavana, then it's not necessary for a person to have in mind that he's doing it l'shem mitzvah. Just the mere fact that he performs the ma'aseh mitzvah, he went through the actions, he did the action of the mitzvah properly, so then he's by definition yaitz the mitzvah, even though he didn't have the proper kavana. The two examples that the Gemara spells out in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches, one is concerning Tkiyah Shofar, one is concerning Achilas Matzah. The case of Tfiyah Shofar, the Gemara describes that Takel Ashir, the person who is blowing shofar because he likes the sound of the shofar, he's practicing his instrument and the orchestra happens to be the ram's horn, so he's practicing a little bit, and it happens to be that his job to play, his part to play, is a tkiyah shram, through a tkiyah, with all the chumras and all the hidurim, that's his job. So he's blowing away at tkiyah l'shia, but mitzvah tkiyah shofar, he was not thinking about, he's not focusing on the mitzvah tkiyah shofar. So the Gemara says, what's the din at tkiyah l'shia? Is he yaitz in the mitzvah now? Then he realizes 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, should I go hear the shofar over again? So one man the other says, no, you don't have to hear the shofar again, because at the tkiyah l'shia yasa, mitzvah's ain't mitzvah's kavana. And the other thing the Gemara says, no, that Yitzchak were not yotzei, Pashas min haTorah, you weren't yotzei, and you would be required to hear the shofar over again. The Chayyadim just points out that this machlokas about whether mitzvah's tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana means in these kinds of scenarios where there's some kind of an ulterior motive why the person is doing the mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah because of a tekel l'shia. Let's say you have a person who walks into shul at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's half asleep, and he starts putting on his film, he's not thinking about l'shem yichud, he's not thinking about l'shem kavana, nothing, fills on, falling off. So would you say that if you hold mitzvah shichas kavana, he's not yotzei? So the Chayyadim says, no, he doesn't think that would be true. He doesn't think anyone would say that. Even if the person didn't actively have in mind to be yotzei, but of course he did it l'shem mitzvah. Why else is he up at 6 o'clock in the morning? Why else is he taking his tefillin out of the bag? Why else is he making a bracha? It's clear from the context that he's doing it l'shem mitzvah, even that he wasn't conscious enough to formally think through l'shem mitzvah, that's good enough, says the Chayyadim. Not l'chatchila, of course, the person should always try to have in mind, should pay attention, should be conscious of what he's doing, but l'mais, in terms of being yotzei in a mitzvah, clearly that's not the issue of mitzvah shichas kavana now. But in the case where a person blows the shofar for some other reason, that's kelishia, that would be the machlokes in the Gemara. And the Gemara is a second example of a possible question of mitzvah shichas kavana. A person who eats matzah, not because he necessarily wants to eat the matzah, because somebody's forcing him to eat the matzah. Kafu goyim, whatever the case is, somebody's forcing him to eat matzah. He's not really interested in eating matzah, it just happens to be Leo Chamisha also, it happens to be the night of Pesach. So once again, if you hold that mitzvah shichas kavana, he's not yotzei because he's eating for another reason. If you hold mitzvahs ain't shichas kavana, then he would be yotzei. These are the two examples that the Gemara gives. There are other examples, other sugyas and brachas and tzachim, where this Gemara comes up as well. But these are the two examples that we're going to focus in on right now. So the only thing that's crystal clear, at least, I should say, according to all the Rishonim except for the Rambam, is that no matter how you decide to paskin in this shaila, whether mitzvah shichas kavana or mitzvah ain't shichas kavana, so the answer is going to be the same by all mitzvahs. There is no reason to arbitrarily distinguish between these mitzvahs. If you want to paskin mitzvah shichas kavana, that's fine, but just be consistent throughout all the mitzvahs. If you want to paskin mitzvah ain't shichas kavana, that's also okay, but just be consistent as well. The only thing that seems to be inconsistent is the split between the two. The paskin that a matzah is one way and the shofar the other way or vice versa. So the Rishonim really split down the line in terms of how do we paskin? Do we paskin mitzvah shichas kavana? Do we paskin mitzvah zain shichas kavana? So half the Rishonim paskin one way, half the Rishonim paskin another way. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, yeshomim this. And finally, after thousands of years of machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch says, chein halacha, then mitzvah shichas kavana. So you would think it was the end of the story. Baruch Hashem, we paskin mitzvah shichas kavana, so come to Magen Avraham and the Gra, have machlokes. Well, did the Shulchan Aruch really mean that he's paskin it out to Torah's Vadai? Or is it only because of Safek? Chaps enough committed for mitzvah derabanan. So they just reopened the question again. So we thought we had finally had some closure in this machlokes. It's still rolling. So we're still not sure at the end of the day what the answer to the question is. Shichas kavana or ain't shichas kavana, so it's an ongoing machlokes. But the only thing that's clear as day is that whatever you hold in one mitzvah, you hold in another mitzvah. So comes the Rambam, and I guess it shouldn't surprise us that the Rambam split the psak. The Rambam in the shofar writes, if a person blows shofar at tekel l'shir, he's lo yotza, he doesn't perform the mitzvah, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of tekel shofar. But the Rambam in the chametz matzah writes, if a person eats matzah b'li kavana, then he is going to be yotza the mitzvah. It's to be added, he will be yotza the mitzvah. So all the Nosekelim and the Rambam are very disturbed with this, because just conceptually, it doesn't really seem to make any sense, and textually, it seems to be against the Gemara. It seems to be one issue, either yes, Tzrichas Kavana, or no, Tzrichas Kavana. How in the world can the Rambam defend this split sack that by Matzah, there's no necessity for Kavana, whereas by Shofar, there is? So the Magen Mishnah was so bothered with this Rambam that the Magen Mishnah writes, that he's willing to go out on a limb, that there must be a tell sofer in the Rambam. There must be a mistake. One of these Rambams must be a mistaken text. The only problem is, it's very easy to say that, but he doesn't have any text that supports this. Not only does he not have any source to support this idea, but in the later Kisvayad, so if you look in the back of the Frankel Rambam, they look the high and low throughout the world. They didn't find anyone to support the Magen Mishnah. So just time to guess that maybe Nichashti, that there's a self, it's very hard to say that way. The Pasha says we have to deal with what the Rambam says in front of us, and that is in fact the split stack of the Rambam, and the Rishonim are bothered. How can the Rambam say such a thing? How can it be that Masa doesn't require Kavana, and Shofar does require Kavana? So there are two fundamentally different approaches in the Rishonim how to solve this problem. One is to say that Masa is the rule and Shofar is the exception to rule, and the other is to say vice versa, that Shofar is the rule and Masa is the exception to rule. So we'll take the easier shot first, which is not the Rosh Hashanah part, which is more the Masa part, and then we'll get to the part that we really want to extract from this Rambam. So the Ran of Masechus Rosh Hashanah suggests that the real rule, according to the Rambam, is that all mitzvahs require Kavanah. That's the rule by Rosh Hashanah, that's the rule by Shofar, that's the rule by Tefillah, that's the rule by Tzitzis, and by Lulav, you name the mitzvah Sichus Kavanah. Matza is the quirk. Matza is the exception to the rule. You know why matza is the exception to the rule? Because the person is eating something, he's enjoying it, he's getting the schmack from it. So the Ran dug up a Gemara that appears in Masechus Krisos in a totally different context, but the Gemara uses the phrase Shekei Nehneh. When a person benefits from something, a person gets physical pleasure from something, so it's his to say. It means it belongs to him, it's his ma'isa. You can't say, no, he didn't do it. You can't say it's not Yates. You can't say in the case of the Gemara in Krisos, it's not his Aveira. Says the Ran, Masa is the exception to the rule because he ate, he enjoyed, he's got a geschmack, so he's yet to the mitzvah, finished. However, we're not going to go the route of the Ran, we're going to take the exact opposite approach. Namely, that rather than saying that Masa is the exception to the rule, what we want to suggest, and already the Rishonim suggested it, that in fact Shofar is the exception to the rule. That the rule by all mitzvahs, at least according to the Rambam, whether the Tosfos Rambam or not is a different question, but at least according to the Rambam, the basic rule is mitzvos ein shichus kavana. You want to shake a lulav without kavana, that's okay. You want to bench without kavana, you want to say kish without kavana. Kavana is not na'akid. It's a nice thing to have, it's a beautiful thing to have, but at the end of the day, it's not going to disqualify the mitzvah. So at the end of the day, the Rambam paskins, mitzvah ain't shichas kavana. But there is an exception to the rule, and the exception to the rule is tekiyah shofar, which really now leads us to understand what is the nature of this exception to the rule. Why is it that shofar is different? Man, no pun intended, but man is down a shofar from all other mitzvahs, that shofar requires kavana and nothing else requires kavana. So in order to understand the Shittas HaRambam, we have to go back to the sugya of mitzvah sichas kavana and make the following observation. There is a Gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara also speaks about the halacha of mitzvah sichas kavana concerning a different mitzvah that we're all familiar with, the mitzvah we perform twice a day, and that's the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. When it comes to Kriya Shema, the Gemara throws out the same terms, kavana, no kavana, hin and hair, back and forth, and then all of a sudden the Gemara goes on an entire tangent for a whole Amud, the first Amud in the second Berakh of Brachos, and the Gemara says, how do you know that there's a din of kavana by Kriya Shema? And the Gemara says, v'hayu hadvar ma'eila, sh'anochim mitzav chayom al levavecha, it has to be al alev, it's not enough just to say the words, and the Gemara says, al levavecha maybe refers to the first pasuk, maybe the first two pasukah, maybe the whole parsha, the two parshas, a whole story, a whole shrach of a diet, other long in the Gemara in the second Berakh of Brachos, how far do we take this rule of al levavecha? So comes the Rashba at the beginning of the second Berakh of Brachos and raises an obvious question in this entire sugya. When it comes to mitzvah sugyas kavana and all other sugyas in Shas, Matz and Shofar and Lulav, wherever else the sugya of mitzvah sugyas kavana appears, the Gemara never asks any question, where does it come from, how far does it apply to, what's the makor? The Gemara just assumes it either exists or it doesn't exist. All of a sudden, when it comes to Kriya Shema, the Gemara makes a whole to-do about this Kavana, with the machlokes is how far in the mitzvah you have to have Kavana, part of the mitzvah, the whole mitzvah, three-quarters of the mitzvah, what's the mark for this pasuk, that pasuk, the other pasuk, what's going on? Why did the Gemara pick on Kriya Shema to discuss all the details of Kavana, a sugya that doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas? So the Rashba suggests the following yourself, really a brisker Torah. The Rashba lived a little bit before Reb Chaim, but you can use brisker Torah even before Reb Chaim. So the Rashba says, in effect, the answer to this dilemma is that there are two dinim in kavana. There are two distinct types of kavana that the halacha addresses. One is what's called kavana latseis yedei hamitzvah. Kavana latseis yedei hamitzvah means, plain and simple, I'm having in mind to perform the mitzvah. That's it. I don't know anything about the mitzvah. I don't know the details of the mitzvah. I don't understand what the mitzvah is all about. I'm not such a chacham, but I know that it's a mitzvah. The Torah, it's one of the tag mitzvahs. L'shem mitzvah. Finished. That's what kavana l'shem mitzvah means. Says the Rashba, that's the sugya in Kol HaShas. That's the sugya where the mitzvah shichas kavana or ain't shichas kavana. The person is eating the matzah and is not having that in mind, l'shem mitzvah. The person who's shaking the lulav, not at l'shem mitzvah. The person who's benching, not l'shem mitzvah. A person who does a ma'isa mitzvah without having in mind l'shem mitzvah. That's the discussion in Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the sugya in Brachas, in Tzochim, in Rosh Hashanah, in Neiriv, and you name it, with a mitzvah Srichos Kavana, a mitzvah Zayin Srichos Kavana. Come to Rashba and says, that is not the sugya in the second parak of Brachas. That's not what we're even talking about in the sugya of Kriya Shema. The sugya of Kriya Shema is not talking b'chlal about Kavana l'shem mitzvah. Rather, it's talking about kavanas peirush ha'inyan. When we speak about Kriya Shema requiring kavana, the first pasuk, the first two psukim, first three psukim, whatever number of psukim require kavana, what that means is, in addition to the din klali, to the general principle of kol HaTorah Kula, of kavana l'shem mitzvah, there's a din prati, there's a localized, individual halacha that's relevant only in the realm of Kriya Shema, called Kavana sa'inyan. When you say Shema, it's not enough, like it says in the Rav Scroll Siddur, right before you say Shema Yisrael, it's not enough just to say, concentrate to perform the mitzvah. That's not enough. When you're saying the pasuk Shema Yisrael, you have to pay attention to what you're saying. Just to say Shema and to be thinking about something else, says the Rashba, that's not a fulfillment of Kriya Shema Midda Araisa. When you shake the lulav, I don't care what you're thinking about when you shake the lulav. As long as before you shake the lulav, you thought l'shem mitzvah, you're okay. Before you ate the matzah, you thought l'shem mitzvah, you're okay. Before you put on the tzitzit l'shem mitzvah, it doesn't matter. All mitzvahs, as long as you thought l'shem mitzvah, you're okay. Comes Kriya Shema, says the Rashba, there's a second din of kavana. Above and beyond l'shem mitzvah, there's kavana sa'inyan, kavana sa'tochen, that you have to have in mind while you're doing the mitzvah, what the words of the mitzvah are. You have to concentrate on what you're doing, not just having in mind l'shem mitzvah. So in addition to intention, there's concentration. You have to be cognizant and concentrate b'shas ha-mitzvah on what the essence of the mitzvah is. And what is the essence of the mitzvah? In one sentence, what are you supposed to be concentrating on? The answer is poshut, Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is to be mekabel upon yourself, Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim. So it's not enough min ha-Torah just to think l'shem mitzvah. That's also necessary. That's mitzvah sikhus kavana. Maybe yeah, maybe no. But kavana sa'inyan, kavana sa'ishamilim, kavana sa'tochen, kavana sa'kabal sa'machu shemayim, that's a dava pashut that's necessary. There's nothing to discuss. And that's what the Gemara is discussing in terms of where the mocha for that. How do you know that you have to have kavala sa'machu shemayim? That's learned out from Allah Avecha, Shema Yisrael, whatever the different makariot that the Gemara and the Rishonim give. So these are two different halachas of kavana. The Gemara lumps them together. The Gemara uses the term kavana here, kavana there, so people get confused. They think that it all means the same thing. It's totally different. One is kavana l'shem mitzvah, the other is kavana perish ha'inyan, perish ha'tochen. Is there any other mitzvah where we find this concept that it's not enough just to have in mind l'shem mitzvah, but a person has to be concentrating on what the essence of the mitzvah is all about? So the Rambam has a similar notion in Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah has a lashon when the Rambam writes that if a person is mispala b'li kavana, harei dekidu lo ispalo klal. A tefillah without kavana is mamish garnish, is mamish meaningless. It's as if the person hasn't davened. So Reb Chaim in his Chiddushim in the Rambam raises the question, what exactly does that mean that a person who's mispala b'li kavana dekidu lo ispalo? Says Reb Chaim, is that mitzvah sfichas kavana? Is that what the Rambam's talking about? That you have to have in mind before you daven, l'shem mitzvah, l'shem yichud, before you daven, that's what the Rambam meant. And what if you hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana? So then you don't have to have that in mind. Then you can daven for whatever reason you want. So Reb Chaim says, no, the Rambam is not talking about kavana l'shem mitzvah. That depends on whether it's tzrichas kavana, ein tzrichas kavana. That's not the topic of the Rambam. The Rambam is defining for you what the kavana satochen is. When a person is davening, a person is standing Shemon Esrei, so they have to be concentrated, not l'shem mitzvah. That's understood. Of course you have to have l'shem mitzvah. That's before you start. The Shemon Esrei you have in mind l'shem mitzvah. But the Shas Tefillah, what you're supposed to be concentrating in on, is the essence of what the davening is. And what is the definition of Tefillah? So says Reb Chaim, the answer is very simple. What defines Tefillah is, Kavanas Oymed Lifnei HaMelech. If a person is saying the words and not having in mind that he's Oymed Lifnei HaMelech, that he's standing in front of the Rabbi Shalom, so Reb Chaim says that's not the mitzvah of tefillah. That's just saying words. It's opening a siddur and reading words out of a siddur. That's not the definition of tefillah. Reb Chaim goes so far as to say, what he sounds like he's saying, is that this kavana of Oymed Lifnei HaMelech is ma'akev throughout the entire Shemon Esrei. In case anyone's having a little bit of chlush tadah, so the Chazanish writes, and this Reb Chaim in his Gilyonus in the back of Reb Chaim, if Reb Chaim's right, Chazanish says he doesn't think anyone since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu ever davened Shemon Esrei, because that means any second during the Shemon Esrei, you lose track of the fact that you're only listening to HaMelech, so you're not in Yotzei. So Are you talking to say such a thing? It's very difficult to understand that practically. But right now we're not in the practical advice. Right now we're still in Reb Chaim's mode. So Reb Chaim understands that that's what tefillah is. That Oyim L'Tanana, Kavanas Oyim L'Tanana Melech is an Atev Inuchas Tefillah, because that's the very definition of tefillah. Perhaps this is the explanation of the Shita Sarambam. The Gemara Masechet Brachas tells us that if a person, for some reason, drank a little bit too much, and now he wants to get up and daven, so the Gemara says that if he drank a very small amount, then he really also shouldn't daven. Like, he's not supposed to daven at all, if he drink even more than a revius. But if a person drank a little bit more than a revius, then he's still basically okay, so then if he davens with the evidence, the tefillah is good. But if a person is so drunk that he gets up, he starts mumbling the words, but he says the words, he's not yet even with the evidence, the Gemara says. And the Rambam, when he gives this halacha, so the Rambam writes, what's the shir hadavar? How do you know when the person is so drunk that he's not yet even with the evidence? So the Rambam says, it is in the yachal adavar b'shnei hamelech, that he's so drunk that he can't speak in front of a king. He would never be able to give a speech under these circumstances. So that's called not a kiyum of tefillah. That's exactly what Reb Chaim said, that a tefillah that's not in the state of under the Fnei HaMelech is not a chalashim tefillah. So a tefillah that's either lacking in the kavanah under the Fnei HaMelech, or a tefillah that's lacking in the physical ability to be under the Fnei HaMelech, that's not considered to be a tefillah, even to be avid. So that's already a different din of kavanah. That has nothing to do with mitzvah shichas kavanah. That defines the very essence of the mitzvah. So in effect, what Reb Chaim, Bedas HaRambam, and Rashi and Brachas are telling us is a new insight into kavanah. That kavanah means sometimes just having in mind the shem mitzvah, and that's a bit that applies by all mitzvahs. Either you accept it or you don't accept it. But then there's a second bit of kavanah, which is only relevant by certain very, very particular mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs out there which have an additional notion of kavanah to them, and what is the common denominator? Which mitzvahs require kavanah, and which mitzvahs don't require kavanah? So let's go through the list. So we just mentioned two mitzvahs. One of them is Kriya Shema, one is tefillah. What is the common denominator between Kriya Shema and tefillah? So the answer is both of them are expressions of Kabbalah. So Malchus Shemayim, Kriya Shema is Pshuta Kimashmo, Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad, so Ein Lecha Kabbalah, so Malchus Shemayim, Godo Mizeh, to such an extent that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about which Pshukim are appropriate to say for Malchus, Zichronis, and Shofar. So usually we try to pick a pasuk that has the word melech in it, or the pasuk that has the word zecher in it, or a pasuk that has the word shofar in it, mamish. So when it comes to the pasukim of Malchus, all of a sudden the 10th pasuk is Shema Yisrael. So the Gemara raises the question, how can you say Shema Yisrael? It doesn't say Hashem Melech. So the Gemara says, no, Im lecha Malchus Shemayim go to Mizeh. Of course that's Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Of course that's what the words mean. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeir Hashem Lekeir. It doesn't have to say the word Melech. It's intuitively obvious that that's Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. So we pass it even lechet chiva. That's that 10th pasuk from Malchus. So the mitzvah, the mitzvah Kriyishma is of course an expression of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Not only is Kriyishma an expression of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, Tefillah is also an expression of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Haraya, that's the sheer of Tefillah. Ayin of the Shnei Melech. That's the way a person has to be knowing the chast Tefillah. He was under the Shnei Melech. The person who's drunk, ain't under the Shnei Melech, cannot daven. The person who cannot have the Kavanah that he's under the Shnei Melech is ain't Tefillah, so Tefillah. That defines the very definition of what Tefillah is all about. And what do we find by these two mitzvahs? The mitzvah of Kriyashma and the mitzvah of Tefillah, above and beyond all other mitzvahs, we find there's a new halacha of Kavanah. Above and beyond the regular rules of Kavanah, there's a special halacha that Kabbalah Samachah Shemayim requires Kavanah. Kabbalah Samachah Shemayim, believe Kavanah is Nishkin Kabbalah Samachah Shemayim. It's not a Kriyashma, it's not a Tefillah, Midarai, so that's not called the Kabbalah Samachah Shemayim. Kabbalah Samachah Shemayim is primarily something a person does belay. If a person merely mouths the Kabbalah Samachah Shemayim, that's not called the Kabbalah Samachah Shemayim. You shake a lulav without kavanah, you still shake the lulav. You ate the matzah without kavanah, right? B'diyav, the shas b'chak, you still ate the matzah. You say kriyashma without kavanah, you say tefillah without kavanah, that's a nothing. A kabbalah samach hashemayim, I believe kavanah, is not considered to be not a deficient kabbalah samach hashemayim, it's a non-existent kabbalah samach hashemayim. So perhaps this may be part of what the Shita Sarabam is as well when it comes to Tekiyah Shofar. Comes the Rambam in his understanding of the Sugya in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches, and the Rambam felt that there's a split between different mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs, Kavanah is critical, and other mitzvahs, Kavanah is not so critical. Masa is Nishkafel, he masa is Kavanah, Kaf of Yachal, Masa is Yayitzeh. Hatakeh, the Shia, forget it. A person who blows Shofar in Rosh Hashanah and is not focusing on the mitzvah Shofar, he's not cognizant of the mitzvah Shofar, he's not focusing, he doesn't see the Shofar as an expression of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. What kind of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is that? What kind of mitzvah Shofar is that? What the Rambam is telling us is a tremendous chiddush in Hilchos Shofar, that Shofar is not just a mitzvah of road. Mitzvah, Shofar is not just an action. Shofar is not matzah, and Shofar is not silvan, and Shofar is not lulav. Those are mitzvahs maisios. So the mitzvahs maisios, okay, you have kavanah, yeah, you don't have kavanah, maybe also good, machlek, it's a shayim, a sofek, fine. But the mitzvahs of kavos and al chashanayim, what are these three mitzvahs of kavos and al chashanayim? The mitzvah of kriyashma, which for sure kavan is ma'akev. The mitzvah of tefillah, where for sure kavan is critical. And the mitzvah of Kriya Shofar also is elevated to the dimension of Kabbalah and Al Chashanayim. Any mitzvah of Kabbalah and Al Chashanayim, by definition, requires Kavanah. To be Tekeya Shofar, believe Kavanah, is a contradiction in Ayubay. That's a lacking, that's a deficiency, that's a non-existent Kabbalah and Al Chashanayim. Kriya Shofar, which doesn't have that dimension of Kabbalah and Al Chashanayim, is not considered to be a Tekeya Shofar. Because that's the very essence of what the day, of what the mitzvah of Tekeya Shofar is all about. So when we speak about, Dr. Rishonim explained that one of the reasons of Tekiyah Shofar is you blow in front of the king, Tokel Lefnei HaMelech, that is not just a drush, not just a nice sermon, that's a halacha. There are dinim that are based on that, that there's a kiyum of Tekiyah Shofar within Tekiyah Shofar, Kabbalah and Nachash Shemayim, to the Rambam, took this to the ultimate extreme, that it's even going to the Ma'akev, the same way it's Ma'akev at Kriyash, with Ma'akev at Tefillah. So clearly, Kabbalah and Nachash Shemayim is the theme, the motif, the most important thing that we accomplish on Rosh Hashanah, Kabbalah and Nachash Shemayim. There are many other things on our minds in Rosh Hashanah. We have a din, and we have a lot of bakashas to Rebbe Hashem, a lot of things that cross our mind on Rosh Hashanah, but we shouldn't lose track of what the Iker is. That the Iker is Hashem Elach, the Iker is Kabbalah and Nachash Shemayim. It's so eager that defines the tshuva process, as we started out the shiur by saying, that the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is not a tshuva on the chatoim per se, it's not a maisa tshuva, but rather it's the prerequisite for tshuva, it's the nechesh emlekecha, that enables us to reach the point of being chayzeh b'tshuva. The Kabbalah of Nachash Shemayim not only enables us to be chayzeh b'tshuva, but it enables, so to speak, a Kadosh Baruch Hu to accept that tshuva, because it enables a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, to switch from the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Rachamim, because once we're Mekabel, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so once there's a Melech, then the Melech is Shayach for the presidential pardon to kick in. And not only is that true in terms of the entire Yom of Rosh Hashanah as being a Yom of Kabbalah and Nachash Shemayim, but the central mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, is such an extension, it's such an expression of Kabbalah and Nachash Shemayim, that if a person is lacking in the Kavanah, it's a Kriya Shofar B'li Kavanah, it's a Tefillah B'li Kavanah. So hopefully we should be Zeichah on this Rosh Hashanah, us, and all of Klal Yisrael, to perform the Avedis HaYom, Kedas HaChadir, and Arab Vedim Rosh Hashanah, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully in the Zchus of Rabbi Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, he'll look down at us, and it'll be Yigozal Enu Dinim L'Tov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully we'll switch from the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Arachim. Feel it.